Right here.
You win!
All right, what do I win?
Another beer!
It's time once again for Brewery Review.
The best new segment we have.
All right, Brewery Review this time is brought to you from Bent Paddle Brewing, once again, in lovely Duluth, Minnesota. Yeah.
There's a lot of breweries and not a lot of time.
Yeah, we crammed them in, but it was perfect amount.
That's what we're going to talk about all this one started.
Yeah. So not that we overdid it on Friday, but I think we...
No, we overdid it Friday.
Okay, we overdid it Friday. I think we didn't think we were going to, because we were only going to stop at two places on Friday, but...
Yeah.
But when we sat back, when we could actually have coherent thoughts on Saturday and thought about it, all the beers we had were like super high alcohol content.
Yeah. We spaced it out fine. I mean, we hit a couple of breweries. We hit three total on Friday, but they were hours apart.
Yeah.
I mean, starting at 2 p.m. and ending at midnight.
Yeah. Yeah, and don't worry, we were safe. We walked.
No one drove.
Nobody drove.
Yeah, we walked the entire time.
But I think the high alcohol content beers started to catch up with us more than if we were just drinking like the same beer or whatever.
Yep, 100%.
But it made Saturday morning a little rough.
Yeah.
So we had grand plans. We had a hit time of 11 o'clock. We had to be at Bent Paddle at 11.
They do one tour a day.
Yep. Yeah, one tour a day on Saturdays, and it's at 11 o'clock.
Which is cool because we found out, like, their tap room opens at noon. So clearly it's, like, the guys that do the tour, they spend an hour with people, and then they go and they open the tap room.
So it was a little rough going. I'm not going to lie. Our breakfast pans were scrapped because we didn't get up in time, and then it was too busy at Duluth Grill, so we had a lovely... Burger King breakfast.
Mostly sit-down Burger King breakfast.
Yeah, which I got through like two bites and called it quits.
I mean, you had French toast sticks. That was
I had like two French toast sticks, and that was all she wrote.
Yeah,
you had a sandwich.
Yeah, it was decent. I haven't had Burger King breakfast in a while. It wasn't anything to write home about. McDonald's breakfast would have been way better.
Yeah, it would have been way better. Yeah, but anyway, so we get there. Like it was like a 15-minute walk, and we're there at 11. We're okay, right? We're still a little. You know,
and it was a little hard. So they have a giant Bent Paddle owns these like two or three buildings right next to each other. One is the tap room, one is the brewery, and this is in the brewery. And then there was like a little old their first ever tap room is where you started the tour. So we walked in, and it was kind of hard to know what was going on. There was a couple people just hanging out, but they were very welcoming. They're like, "Oh, hey, you're here for the tour, obviously." Like, you know, and then they would give you a glass. They gave you like a little 4-ounce glass that said Bent Paddle on it. They were like, "Which, you know, can I get you a beer? Like, what kind of beer?" And although we weren't super excited for having a beer
at 11 o'clock
in the morning, you know, we picked one.
Yep, we powered through.
We picked one and kind of sipped on it, which was I picked the cold press. There was a cold press. It's a cold press coffee, like in a dark porter, or like other black ale. It was delicious.
Yeah, I did the same. It was really good. It was a good way to nurse ourselves back into drinking beer after we'd maybe overindulged a little bit on Friday. maybe overdid it just a little bit.
Just a little.
I keep wanting to say tap room. It's the old tap room. So where they do the brewery tour, the brewery is where their original tap room is. It was like connected. Yeah. So and we didn't know that. So their original tap room is at the brewery.
Square footage of that. The original tap room is like 300 square feet. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, it's not very big. There's like five or six tables and like a very short counter.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
But it was cool looking. And I remember thinking when we first walked in, like, this is like... As far as like a brewery tour, like normally they don't have like a setup like this just for like a few samples on a tour.
Right.
But then once they told us it used to be the tap room, it made total sense.
Yeah. One of the other things that you said, we've done a bunch of different brewery tours. Well, not a bunch. We've done Liney's, we've done Summit, I know there's another one I'm forgetting of the bigger ones. But this was the first tour that we've ever been on where you basically start off and they give you some beer, like they give you some samples, they give you like a little start off speech. And then throughout the entire tour, there's one guy that's giving the tour, and there's one guy that's filling your beer. So, like, if you were just going to say, I'm going to drink for an hour during this entire tour, there's a guy that's following the group around, like, who needs a beer? Who needs a refill? So that was cool.
Yeah, he would watch your glass, and if it was empty, he was ready to fill you up.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was cool.
Ready for a few.
No, I nursed it. I nursed that.
We had, like, two
I
samples.
Nursed that 4 ounces.
Yeah.
And I've never seen that on a tour before where it's, like, normally, like, you get one at the end. Like, Liney's, you get one at the end.
Some of you get one.
And you only get, like, one. That's right. The thing. You get, like, one pour.
One beer.
Where these guys were not shy about making sure you did not lack for refreshment. Yeah. He did give the you know, make sure you know, you can have as many as you want. But just, you know, if you got to drive, remember, like, it might only be, you know, 4 or 5 ounces. But after 3, 4, 5 of them, you know, just make sure you're safe.
Yep.
So they gave you that speech. But then they also were not shy about making sure that you did not lack for getting a pour, which... To me, I've never seen that somewhere else. Where these guys are very generous, and like the tour is like $10 a person. So like, yeah, you're paying $10, but you're seeing their brewery, and it was an hour and packed full of information.
But for 10,
so that alone, even without a beer,
yeah,
would be worth it to me to hear the history and the this and the that. But the fact that you could basically have your sample glass filled up as many times as you want, like. Incredible value, I feel like, for a $10 tour.
Yeah. I can't believe it was $10. I didn't realize it was only $10. Like, yeah, that was a steal. I mean, as far as the actual overall experience, steal.
Yeah, for sure. Going back to the, I pulled up the, so it's called Cold Press Black Coffee Ale, 6%.
I think it's newer. I don't remember them having one with cold press coffee. They have a black ale that's really good. I like their black ale. It's very smooth and it's a porter. But this was the cold press. Yeah.
Really, yeah, and it was really good.
Yeah. So, like, the guy started off with what was cool about the tour, too, is he basically talked for the first 15, 20 minutes with, like, the history of Duluth and, like, why the brewery opened in Duluth and, like, what kind of, they use, like, Lake Superior water. It's the water that's in Duluth. Then it's, like, the cleanest water around. And I had no clue that all these other breweries have to, like, treat their water and like take chemicals out before they start the brewing process, and that the reason that their beer is so good and that they spend more time on recipes and stuff like that is because they just start with a clean pail of water. They don't have to do anything with it.
Yeah, he was like explaining the pH balance is neutral and it's got very low like mineral content or whatever, and
yeah,
like just because of that fresh water,
right,
it makes a superior beer.
Yep. So that was cool. Like, that was a cool, like, fact or whatever that makes sense when you, like, think about it.
Yeah, something I would have never thought of, but,
yeah.
But, yeah. And he, the tour guide, was his name Mike?
It was, like...
I think Mike?
Did it start with a K?
Chris.
Chris with a K. It was Chris,
Chris with a K.
It was Chris with a K.
He, like, super knowledgeable and, like, not only talked about, like, Bent Paddle and the brewery, but, like, a lot of history of Duluth itself. Like... The first, they talked about Fickers and like the first brewery and like when it was brought in and how like some of these breweries would like revitalize the areas of downtown and like history of Duluth. So it wasn't just about Bent Paddle, but you also got like the history of Duluth and the brew scene.
From someone that clearly knows what they're talking about. Like this guy was so knowledgeable about the brewery.
Yeah, if I was going to start a brewery, I would try to hire that guy away from
Bent Paddle.
Find
that guy and be like, yep, I will offer you this amount of money to come work for me.
Yeah. And I remember him specifically saying, like, they had a brewery before they had a church and and like a school or something like that.
Yeah, he said Duluth was like, it was Duluth. It must have been Duluth. He said they had a brewery before they even had a school or a church.
Yeah, so very cool. Like, the tour itself was really cool.
Also, remember they gave us, so he passed around these glasses that had, like, barley. It was like little bits of barley, little bits of grain, and little bits of, there was like three ingredients or whatever, and he would pour it into your hand and like tell you to like chew it.
Yeah.
You know?
That was really cool too. So you got to chew on like some of the ingredients just to like kind of mash them up in your mouth and get that taste and that feel. So that was really cool too.
Yeah, like he's like, he's like, the more that you like taste it, he's like, the more that you sit and chew it, he's like, you're gonna get like malty, you're gonna get roasty. He's like, it's like if you take a piece of burnt toast and put it in your mouth. He's like, it's going to taste burnt right off the bat, but he goes, if you leave that in your mouth for, like, 5 minutes, he's like, you're going to get, like, a chocolatey tone or, like, he explained a lot of that kind of thing, which just, again, over-the-top brewery knowledge, way over-the-top.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes when you go on, like, a tour, like, for a brewery beer, it's like, you know, welcome to, you know, ABC Brewing. We were started in you know, 2007 and we brew these kinds of beers. Here's the brew kettle and the ingredients. Right. Thank you for coming. Right. Like, that's, this was not bad.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, really, really cool. And then they give, part of it too is that they gave you a couple hops, a couple of, and you just like crush them up in your fingers, smell them.
He's like, if you want.
Yeah, he's like, if you want, taste it. It's gonna, you're not gonna be able to taste, because it's gonna linger for a while, so like, fair warning.
Yeah, so that was really cool. Like, a lot of cool things they incorporated into the tour.
Yeah, and then the other cool part, too, was, like, so they walked... So they, he did the whole, like, this is the brew kettle. He explained the process, which was cool, but we've heard that before. He took us to the canning line, and he showed us, like... And he explained stuff that, like, wouldn't normally... you would think about. Like, he talked about, like... Well, he's like, well, normally you'd have two people running the canning line, and it would take you, like, hours sometimes, because when they're doing the cans, you have to, like... look out for cans and weigh the cans. And he's like, this new machine we bought pre-weighs the cans with, like, lasers.
Yeah, like the gamma ray. Or it shoots a ray in there to tell where the liquid level's at or something.
So he's like, Ben Paddle invested in buying this equipment. But he's like, it saves man hours. Like, we don't have to sit here and, like, it's not going to take as long to do the work now because you have this, you know, all this different equipment. So that was cool.
Yeah, they... What? Oh, I was trying to remember some of the stuff he explained. So Ben Paddle's all cans. There's no bottles.
Oh, yeah.
And he kind of went in depth into explaining why cans versus bottles. And I was always of the opinion that beer tastes better out of a bottle than a can.
Yep.
Like, I've always been a bottle guy.
Yep.
But when he, like, went into explaining why they do the cans, so light, like, can affect your beer. It something about how it interacts with the ingredients or something. Once... Yep. Light hits beer, it starts some kind of like
chemical process.
And he said, like, you know, can or bottles let in that light.
Yep.
So as soon as it's put in that bottle and sealed up, it's all good and dandy. But once light hits that bottle,
it's gonna change.
It starts to change the flavor of the beer.
Yep.
And so, like, obviously, clear bottles, you know, let in the most.
He talked
and then,
about Corona. He was like, Corona. Like,
yeah, he said that's what gives it that little bit of skunky flavor, and that's why you add a lime.
Is to get rid of that skunky flavor. Yeah. It's mind-blowing stuff that you would have never have thought about.
Yeah, and he said that Heineken, even though it's in a green bottle that filters out more of the light, he said if you were to go to, like, Holland and get a Heineken, it's going to be a completely different taste than a Heineken here just because it's... It sat in the bottles and it's had light hit it and it goes through this process. Same thing if once a beer goes into the can or the bottle, and it's cold. So it's cold when it goes in, it should never get warm again.
Yeah, and he said, he's like, I can tell, he goes, if I crack a beer, he's like, I can tell within the first two sips if that beer has either been sitting too long or if it's been warm and cold and warm and cold.
Yeah, if it's gone back and forth. Yeah, so... If you think about that, if you buy beer from, like, a cooler, you need to take it home and put it right back into a cooler. If it sits out and gets warm, and then you put it in the fridge to cool it down again, that's going to change. Because with all the ingredients and the yeast and the this and the that, once they hit certain temperatures, like, different transformations are going to happen. It's going to change the flavor of that beer. And he explained, too, like, say you're grilling outside or whatever, and you pour a beer in a glass. Once the sunlight hits that glass and the temperature rises... It starts to change the taste and the flavor of that beer.
Yeah. Yeah, that was another good point. Like, he talked about that for a long time, and I was like, wow. And then he showed us some of the Ben Paddle cans. Like, it was basically an empty can. And I never realized until he said it that their cans on the inside are lined with plastic because beer should never touch metal because that will also change the flavor of the beer. So when you're drinking beer out of a can, the inside of the can is not metal. It's lined with, like, a food-safe plastic because you never would want the beer to touch metal.
Yeah.
And he's like, the beer obviously touches metal when it's coming out the top and it's hitting your lip. But he's like, that's for such a short period of time that it's not going to affect the flavor of the beer.
Yeah. Yeah, but if it sits in that can for who knows how long, the longer it sits, if it didn't have that lining, it's going to alter it a little bit because it's touching that.
Yeah. We learned a crap load of...
Yeah, it was a lot of knowledge packed into an hour.
Very, like, and he kept you. He was a very interesting. I feel like it's probably partly the person, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, he kind of kept your attention and.
Yeah, it wasn't like you're sitting there like, oh, is he still talking? It's been four. It was a quick hour.
Yeah. And then one thing at the end too is he took us through where the cans were and they had the barrels. So they do, like, barrel aged beers, and he talked about they get whiskey barrels from some local whiskey, you know, maker. But that he was telling us the process of, like, barrel aging some of the beers and those things, and how they have to, before they do it, they empty the barrels out with the whiskey in them, and they get this really small amount of high
level. He called it the devil's cut. Yep, devil's cut whiskey.
Yeah. And he's like, we at the brewery all split it. Like, we'll empty these barrels and then get this small amount of this high, like 160 proof whiskey, and then we all split it and take some of it home. Like, yeah. You know, like, to enjoy. So that was cool.
Yeah, yeah. Lots of cool knowledge and things packed into that.
Yeah. So then they walk you over to the new tap room. So you started in the old tap room, which is like 300 square feet. And then they walk you to the new tap room. And the new tap room is like bigger than some restaurants.
Yeah, it's huge. Huge.
Huge.
And they have a little patio area, which is decent there. He did say they're about to redo it, do some landscaping and some paths and stuff.
Yeah.
But they do have a nice little area with a stage for, like, live music.
Yep.
Tables, you know, it's not a Ursa Minor patio, but it's a decent
patio. Which is funny because, like, they're such a smaller brewery and they have the far superior patio right now.
Yeah, the Ursa Minor? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we did learn that Bent Paddle, it was started in 2013, so relatively newer, but it's already number 4 in the state as far as volume.
That's a huge shock. I mean, to start a brewery in 2013, we're recording this in 2022. Next year would be their 10-year anniversary. And in under 10 years, you're one of the top four breweries. They've just completely skyrocketed.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure he said they're close to Castle Danger, so they might overtake mm-hmm. Castle Danger, depending on...
Yeah, 100%. And then, like, the tap room was cool, too, because they had, like, there was a foosball table and like a space for like kids to hang out. They had a couple of really unique tables. There was a table of like a map of northern Minnesota that showed like a very small subset of Minnesota itself, but then it was like lakes and
it was like kind of centered around Superior National Forest.
Yeah,
so I had like northern Minnesota, Canada, the Boundary Waters. It was a really cool tabletop.
Yeah, but yeah, and then like, I mean, they had a very long bar, a couple of like 2 or 3 or 4 pouring areas, and they're like super family friendly, very family friendly. They want kids to come and like grab a game and play, or like, you know, come play the foosball table, or like even the like a little kid area where they have like a little kid play area.
Yeah, they don't have food, but they encourage you to bring food in. So they even tell you like go here for a sandwich, go here for a pizza, go here for ice cream or whatever, and bring it back. So you can bring in whatever you want.
Yep, that's a good point. That was another thing at the end of the tour. He basically gave us like a 10-minute rundown of like the best sandwich place and like the best pizza place, the best taco place. Like,
So he gave us like good tips on if you wanted to go get food and bring it back, or like, you know, go eat and then come back or whatever. So they're very open. Like, you bring in food, you bring in whatever.
Yep.
But they don't actually, they had snacks. They had like beef sticks, and I think they had like chips and maybe some salsa.
Right.
So they had a couple snacky things, but not like food.
I guess that would have put it over the top too. If they had some sort of Bent Paddle kitchen, and then they're like, oh, we do this craft pizza or like craft Bent Paddle sandwiches. Like that would really set them apart.
Yeah. I mean, or even like a pretzel, like Blacklist had.
Yeah. Oh, God, so good.
No. So we didn't do a flight that first day because we were still kind of nursing ourselves back to full strength. So we did our samples, and I think we had one more, and then we left to go head towards Canal Park to eat and do some other things.
Yeah.
But we came back. We came back and did a flight at the end of the day. Yep. That was our last stop.
We wanted to do the flight. Yeah.
Yeah. So we went back and did a full flight. So we did I got them written down here. We did a Pilsner, we did the Canoe, we did the Old School, and we did the Gruff.
Yeah.
I gotta go back to my other picture here. So the Pils was, which one was the Pils?
The Pils was like, it was their class, it was the...
Venture Pils.
Venture Pils, yeah. That was really good. It was crisp and refreshing.
Yeah, so Venture Pilsner Lager is 5%, so it wasn't like super high. It was decent. It was good, decent beer. The Canoe...
was was weird because it was hoppy.
Yeah, and it was only 4.8%. A Saison Pale Ale.
Yeah, super hoppy.
Only 4%, like super hoppy, but not alcohol-y.
Yeah. So if you're like a, like I do like a hoppy beer and you wanted a, like a low alcohol, that would be the beer to get.
Yeah, for sure. And then the Old School was an IPA. That was a little higher, 7.3. It was good.
That was decent. Yeah, it was decent. It was kind of like, I mean, I'm not going to say it was, I almost feel like it's a little underwhelming, but it was just kind of a solid IPA.
Yeah, yeah, it was it was the one on there that I was probably like the least of the four.
Yeah. I don't think that's a one you can buy. I think that was a tap room thing.
And then my favorite was the Gruff Goat Oat Pale Ale, 5.5%.
Yep. Great beer. Like, we both drank it, and it was like, you kind of like kept in your mouth a little bit, and you're like, it tasted like biscuity, like biscuits, or like,
yeah, you could definitely taste like a toasted oat,
yeah,
like flavor, and it was really good.
Yeah,
but and it was also like light, like 5.5. It was crisp, but had like a good oaty, toasty, biscuity flavor. Yeah.
It was the most flavorful beer in the flight. It had the most flavor, like overall in the entire flight, for sure. Yeah,
yeah. So that one was really good, and they have like some good sounding beers that we didn't try because again we were kind of done with sours, but they have like a Fruity Toots sour ale. They had a Wilderness like a Wilderness Tuxedo American sour ale. They had a tropical hop.
They had some
that we didn't do. Yeah, and that was another thing with Bent Paddle is they had a they had like four or five non-alcoholic craft drinks where it was like a tropical sour or like a couple other things. They had like a kombucha drink.
Yeah, kombucha.
So they had a good selection of like non-alcoholic drinks too.
They also had that weird bubbly water. He talked about that at the tour, but they were serving that in the tap room.
Yeah, it was like a bubbly tangerine flavored water, just like a sparkling water, but it was really good.
Yeah, like it would almost be one you'd want to drink in between having beers to like clear your palate,
cleanse your palate.
Yeah, it was really, and again, he said that it was made with Superior's water, so like it was like super good.
Yeah. Overall, yeah. So what did it, what did we,
let me pull up the ranking.
We had two different rankings. We had the first ranking that we did, which we're not really going to count.
No, we're going to go off the second one.
Yeah.
So we gave the atmosphere a 9. And again, if they would have had like a pretzel or like a little bit more of a foodie option, it probably would have gone up. Not that we're ranking them on food, but the overall atmosphere like was a 9. Presentation, we gave it a 6. That was the one, like,
one hint they took.
Yeah, was like the way they give you the flight. It's just like this square piece of plastic. It that's the square, same plastic some of the chairs are made out of.
Yeah, it was a square piece of gray plastic with like four holes drilled in it, and then in like one of the little spots that you could barely make out Bent Paddle.
Yeah, and it had like a like in the middle of it where you could write with Sharpie what the beer was that you were having, which is an okay touch, but I would almost prefer like a chalkboardy,
right,
you know, thing. But
100% agree.
It was very underwhelming. Like, we were really disappointed. Like, the place called Bent Paddle,
make it a paddle,
and you've got paddles hanging on the walls. Like, why not make like a paddle that you give a, you know,
what if it was bent? Make a bent paddle.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, dude, we're
yeah, so that was the only thing we were kind of like, well, that's a little disappointing. So we gave it a 6. The taste of the beers, we gave it a 7. And drinkability, we gave it a 7. Again, we scored it the same down the board. We didn't have any variations. So I gave it a combined score of a 58.
Yep.
Which, like, I don't know. Like, I want to go off of what we did. I would put it the same with, like, Blacklist and Ursa Minor. Like, you definitely go there.
Right.
It's an absolute must stop.
Yep.
Just as good as the other two, just didn't get quite as high of marks for a couple of reasons, but go there.
Yeah, go there if you're in Duluth. Like, go find. I'd never been there. I mean, the whole time we've been going to Duluth, I'd never bothered to stop at Bent Paddle, but now, yeah, like, I want to take the kids back.
Yeah, I'd definitely take the family or just go through, like, either way, you'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
Just either go in between meals or grab food and bring it with you.
And go do the tour. Like, if you're able to, go do the tour, even if it's not that guy leading it. I mean, I just feel the way that they have the tour laid out, like, it's a good value.
Yeah, definitely check out the tour. And you get to keep the sample glass, too. That's part of it.
Yep.
So, like, you keep your little commemorative glass, which is kind of cool.
Yep.
So yeah, definitely check out Bent Paddle. So that has been our brewery review of Bent Paddle Brewing in Duluth, Minnesota.